Hello, and welcome to Liberty Presbyterian's podcast. I'm Pastor Becky, and along with Pastor John and Pastor Kyle, I pray that the message and the music bless you.
Well, if you're anything like me, your life entered into a twilight zone a few days ago. Because it's that time of year when you're not really sure what the proper greeting is anymore. Because when exactly is the moment that Merry Christmas changes into Happy New Year? You know, it's that weird time of year when the hubbub of Christmas dies down and life doesn't really start up in earnest again until after the new year. This year, the holidays were in the middle of the week, so it's easy to lose track of what day it is. And many of us take this opportunity to breathe and to reflect and to think. You know, we look at those Christmas cards that we get from family and friends, and if you're like me, you begin to think about how your own life stacks up in comparison. It's that time of year that we see the retrospective segments on the news. You know, the lists of the people that we lost and the top news stories for the year, the best books and the best movies and the best TV shows. It's that year, that time of year when people who get paid to prognosticate about what's going to happen in the next year, and especially this year, what's going to happen in the next decade. And again, if you're like me, this is a time for personal inventory too. It's in between the hustle and bustle of taking down decorations and taking back returns. It's time that I find myself thinking about how I want my next year to be different. Now, where do I want to be? What kind of person do I want to be by this time next year? What do I want to be able to say that I've accomplished by this time next year? And then there's a question that I keep coming back to, which is, did anything that we did over the past week make a bit of difference at all? Maybe you have similar questions in your mind. So it seems to me that all too quickly our lives return to the mundane things of life, things like packing lunches and sports practice and piano lessons and dance classes. In just a few days, we're going to find ourselves back in the nightly routine of homework and bedtime. Gone are going to be the fancy parties and the Christmas feasts. And again, if your house is anything like my house, we'll be back to that text message that comes at 5:30 that asks, hey, can you pick up a rotisserie chicken and a bag of salad for dinner on your way home from work? Just my house? No? And you know, all of that, the bedtime routines and the homework and the rotisserie chickens, seem really far removed from an angel chorus and visiting kings and a baby boy born in a stable in Bethlehem more than 2,000 years ago. But you know, in our passage for today, listen to how Paul talks about the importance of Christmas. Listen now to God's word from Paul's letter to Titus. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Now, just a bit of background before we dive in. Paul wrote this letter to his co-worker, a man named Titus. Titus was a man who worked with Paul to establish churches throughout the Mediterranean world, especially on the island of Crete, which is off the southern coast of Greece. And this letter deals with the kinds of issues that come up with starting a church. Things like the qualities that one should look for in leaders, how the community should manage its internal affairs, and the signs to look for to know when the gospel has taken root in somebody's life. It's an intensely practical letter that is light on theological discourse and packed with ordinary run-of-the-mill wisdom about how Christians should conduct themselves in their daily lives. And Paul wrote this letter to Timothy because apparently the residents of Crete were a notoriously difficult group to work with. One, Paul quotes in this letter a local of the island of Crete who said that the people of Crete are all liars, cruel animals, and lazy gluttons. To this, Paul simply adds, "This is all true." It's not exactly a ringing endorsement. And it's not the most fertile ground for planting a church. This is definitely a place where I would wager that Titus is wondering whether all his hard work is going to pay off, whether any of this gospel business makes any difference at all. So I suspect that Titus is asking questions that are very similar to the ones that we're probably asking ourselves right now. After the hard work of Christmas, does any of it make a lick of difference? And then, after a long discussion of how important it is for Titus to instruct the members of his church to live out their newfound faith and to put it into action in their daily lives, Paul tucks this little reminder in there. "For the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation to all people." See, he reminds Titus that the reason that all of this is worth it, the reason that we have hope, the reason that we pull out all the stops and celebrate the miracle of Christmas, is because at Christmas, God's grace appears. It's revealed. It shows up. And when God's grace in Jesus appears, it reveals to all people everywhere God's promised salvation for the world. As much as we cherish the story of Christmas with its romanticized manger scenes and barely focused portraits of Madonna and child, Paul insists on reminding us about the truth of Christmas. That Jesus is more than just a baby in a manger. He's more even than a symbol pointing to God's grace. Jesus is more than just an object lesson demonstrating for us how much God loves us. He's the thing itself. Jesus is God's grace in the full, in the flesh, living and breathing right here among us. Jesus is God's power to save, and it's walking and talking in our midst. Jesus is our great and glorious God and Savior, and he breaks into our lives to bring us the new life of salvation, to liberate us from sin, to claim us as his own people, and to enlist us in his work. If we have questions about whether Christmas is worth all the trouble, If we wonder whether anything changes because of a child who laid in a manger all those years ago, who would later go on to die on a cross, who would later go on to rise from a grave, then Paul answers our question with one word, a resounding yes. Because of Christmas, everything is different. Because from that moment on, ever since that pivotal moment in history, nothing has ever been the same. See, Paul's point is that when God's grace comes as close to us as it does in Jesus, when God's grace comes as close to us as it does at Christmas, it will change your life from first to last, from top to bottom, from the inside out. And what's more is that this grace that appears at Christmas, the salvation that comes with it, is so thoroughgoing, so complete, so exhaustive, that it comes to life in the normal, ordinary, even in the boring details of our life. See, Paul's point is, as one commentator says, that the marvels of God's deeds in Jesus Christ come to life in the mundane details of our lives. Which, I guess when you think about it, is kind of the point of Christmas. I mean, that first Christmas was really pretty ordinary. Jesus didn't come in a flash of light. He wasn't born in a palace. Instead, he was born the same way that most every other baby is born, same way that most of us were born even. He was born to ordinary, humble parents in a regular old run-of-the-mill town. And aside from the fact that he had a bunch of people following him around wherever he went, you couldn't pick him out of a crowd. See, when God's grace appeared at Christmas, Jesus didn't come just to save the high points of our lives. He came to save all of it. Even the stuff that feels mundane. Even the stuff that feels pretty far removed from a stable in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. So if I can leave you with a bit of a homework assignment. Some questions to think about as we come to the beginning of a new year and come down from the high of Christmas. How will you make sure that Christmas makes a difference? By allowing God's grace to change you this coming year. How will you allow the miracle of Christmas, God's grace breaking into the world in Jesus, to transform not just the high points, but the mundane moments of your life too? Because Paul's promise to Titus and to us is that even the ordinary, everyday moments of our lives can bear witness to the grace we have received at Christmas. And friends, that's good news. Let's pray. Gracious God, it is hard to believe that your grace comes not just for the high points of our lives, but you come to save all of it. Even the boring, run-of-the-mill, mundane, day-to-day moments of our lives, you're not interested in part of us, you are interested in all of us. And that is the miracle of Christmas. Lord, help us to be transformed by your grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.